in your Bibles with me, I want to kind of just set it up for you. Some of you are like, man, we're preaching about the movies. No, listen, we teach the Bible at our church, okay? The Bible is the primary proof text. We don't preach a topic. We don't preach from a movie. We preach from the Bible, right? But how many know the Bible has truths and principles that we can see in our world, right? You know, they're transferable principles. They're redemptive themes in every story. So, like, even, you know, look at the story of, I'm just name a famous story in history, any Shakespearean play. Shakespeare quotes the Bible all the time. You look at lots of different themes of redemption where people lay down their life and sacrifice for others. That, I mean, that's a type of what Jesus did for us, right? When we see a movement of good against evil, we see those themes in the Bible where there's the kingdom of heaven and there's a kingdom of darkness, and that's what Star Wars is all about, the light side and the dark side of the force, right? Good against evil. And yet, I'm not going to preach from a movie. I'm going to preach from the Bible. Is that okay? Can I teach the Bible today? Is that okay, everybody? How many would prefer that I teach from the Bible and not preach a movie? I prefer that myself. But we can look at some themes from Romans chapter 7 that we can transfer into the Force Awakens. This particular character named FN2187, who is the stormtrooper who goes from being on the dark side to goes to the light side. And we don't know exactly why he gets touched by the light side of the force, but somehow he goes from being a bad guy to being a good guy. How many of you went from being a bad guy to being a good guy when you became a Christian, right? Hopefully you did. And if not, we need to talk, I guess. But Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, I'm going to teach kind of chapter and verse through this, with the primary themes being from the passage with it being illustrated by this character from The Force Awakens. And hopefully you can go there with me. How many of you have ever read an old ancient book called The Pilgrim's Progress? How many of you ever heard of the book The Pilgrim's Progress? It's a book that was written back in the 1600s by a British theologian who was actually a Protestant theologian named John Bunyan. Now, he was put in a British jail because he was rebelling against the Church of England. This is just after the Reformation. You guys have heard of Martin Luther, right? When the Reformation happened, the Catholic Church, they had a lot of corruption back then. There were people doing what they called indulgences. In other words, if you give enough money, we'll forgive your sins. How many of that would be a nice little thing? You're like, give $100, get all your sins forgiven for the last 5 years. That's what the church was doing. How many know you can't buy your way into heaven, right? But they were selling indulgences at the time. And of course, Martin Luther was writing against that. Like, you can't just buy your way into heaven. He's like, redemption comes through Christ alone. And so there was all kinds of craziness happening in the Catholic Church at that time. And Luther started this movement with this document called the 95 Thesis. And he wrote these 95 protests against the Catholic Church. And he nailed it on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. And of course, that caused a shudder through all of Europe that this monk from Germany was saying what was wrong with the church. And of course, out of Luther, we got Lutheranism, right? We got the Protestant movement, the non-Catholic Christian movement. Man, this thing needs a windscreen so bad. But anyway, I love the story of Luther, but when the Protestant movement was moving to England at the time, there, John Bunyan was there reforming Christian thought in England, in the British Isles. And so as Bunyan was teaching about this reformed Christianity, that it's not about a church, but it's about Christ. It's not about doing indulgences. It's not about saying some kind of special prayers. It's about knowing Christ. It's about letting Christ come in. It's about allowing Christ to forgive you of your sins and walking with Christ. He wrote this beautiful allegory called The Pilgrim's Progress. And a pilgrim is living in this city of destruction. And it's a terrible place. There's sin everywhere. It's rampant. There's prostitution and drunkenness and poverty and murder. And how many know that sounds a little familiar? It's a little bit like the world we're living in right now, the city of destruction. Pilgrim is walking through the city of destruction. He's thinking, man, there has to be a better place than this. I don't want to live here anymore. And then he hears about a city. The celestial city, a city that's far away. It's a great and terrible journey. Most people never take it. But he goes through a narrow gate, And then he travels through the countryside, and he goes into the pit of despondency and despair, and he faces a dragon of temptation, and he faces all these different spiritual allegories that we face in our Christian life: depression, fear, temptation, all the things that we go through. And after we decide to become a Christian, sometimes it even gets harder. You know, it's harder to be a Christian. Anybody notice that? It'd be so much easier just to live in the city of destruction, right? Just do whatever you want to do, go with the flow, but take the narrow gate, take the narrow path, and start the journey to the celestial city. And that is what Paul is describing to the Romans when he talks about this battle that we're dealing with. Do you know you're in a war? You're in a spiritual war. Whether you like it or not, you're in the battle for your very soul. You're either deciding that you're going to serve God or you're going to serve yourself. You're either going to go his way or you're going to go your own way. And so Paul is describing this inner struggle that we have as believers. How many know the good things you should do, but oftentimes you don't do it? Like, for instance, how many of you knew you should have worked out this week, but you skipped at least one workout? How many of you skipped all of your workouts this week? Okay. I'm right there with you. I did lift weights one day, but that was, you know, the pretty bad, because I'm supposed to lift three times a week. So, you know, how many of you knew that you should have eaten healthy, but at least one or two meals you didn't eat so healthy this week? Pizza pockets, I know. In my house, we had a few things we shouldn't have eaten this week, right? We know the good we should do, but we don't do it, right? And we know the evil that we should not do, but we just go ahead and do it anyway. And this is what Paul is talking about. He goes, I don't understand what's wrong with me. It's like I got two people living on the inside of me. I got this part of me that wants to serve God, that says the law of God is good. I love God with all my heart. But there's this other side of me. There's this evil side of me who says, I'd rather do this. I'd rather not do that other stuff. And so when you look at F1287, you see in him this conflict where he's been serving in that evil empire, that empire of Darth Vader, right? This empire that is oppressing the Rebel Alliance. And they're doing a firing squad, and he refuses to shoot the good person. He suddenly has this inner dilemma. And when he comes back to the empire, he realizes that he's got this internal struggle going on inside of him. Maybe you felt this same internal struggle. I want you to see this first scene from The Force Awakens with F1287. Check it out. F1287 has this inner dilemma. I don't want to do evil anymore. I need to do the right thing. I'm going to rescue you because it's the right thing to do. Are you with the Rebel Alliance? I don't know, but I'm getting you out of here. I can't keep living the way I've been living. I have to change. I can't keep doing this. And so that brings me to point number one. We know the good to do, but oftentimes we don't do it. Romans 7, verse 14 through 17 says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I'm all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, that shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one who's doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. There's a reality that as long as you're living in these bodies, you're still going to have the appetites and temptations of the body of sin, right? There's an inner conflict. We're in a spiritual war. And that war won't end until we get to heaven, until we cross over to the other side and we finally say, yay, I have won. I made it. I won the victory over sin. And not only did I win it, but Jesus won it, and he won it for me, and he's lived his life through me. And Paul, in another passage, says that our choices are never free from that conflict of sin. You're going to have the ability to choose right and to choose wrong the whole rest of your life. How many of you ever wish that sometimes God would just take away your free will and just make you do right? You wouldn't have to choose anymore? Like, wouldn't it be nice if I just automatically did the things I should do? Like, I automatically ate right. I automatically worked out. I automatically read my Bible. I was automatically nice to my spouse. I was automatically nice to my kids. How many know that's not the world we're living in? We have to choose the right to do, and God never chooses for us. That's why he can't study the Bible for you, right? You can't just say, oh God, make me do good. He goes, no, you have to do your part, and I'll do my part, right? So when we trust in Christ, we get that ticket punched to heaven. We're going to heaven, but everything after that for us is a matter of discipleship. Are we going to be fully devoted followers of Christ, or are we going to be kind of hit and miss about it? We're going to be sort of in one day and out the next, kind of hot for Jesus one day and then kind of mediocre and kind of lukewarm the next. No, God doesn't want that. Jesus said, I'd rather that you would be either hot or cold. But when you're lukewarm, it's like, ugh, it's like coffee that's been sitting on the counter too long. It's like, ugh, oh no. Or like, you know, anybody have a McDonald's milkshake that you left out and forgot about it, and then you went to drink it, and it's turned to sludge in the paper cup? You're like, this isn't even milkshake. What is this? This is rubber? What is this? So it's not cold. It's just medium temperature, tepid coffee, a warm shake. Gross, right? And we don't like that. And that's what God says, that when we get mediocre in our Christianity, Jesus is like, man, I want to spit that out of my mouth. I would rather that you would be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Serve me all the way, Jesus says in the book of Revelation. And it's so important that we do that, that we commit to that kind of thing. I love Johnny Cash. I know we've got a Memphis music fan. Anybody like Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis and the whole Sun Records? Yeah. Johnny Cash, near the end of his life, did a cover of a lot of modern music. He covered like U2 and Depeche Mode, and he covered a Nine Inch Nails song on the America series. He did two albums. I want to read these lyrics to you, and I think they're very autobiographical for Johnny Cash, but I think it might be autobiographical for us as disciples of Christ too. He said, I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. And I will let you down. I will make you hurt. You ever felt like that? Like you don't have a friend in the world? That you're hurting people around you and you don't even know why? You do the things you know you shouldn't do. And the good things you know you should do, you don't do them? Have you ever felt that inner conflict? You're like, what's wrong with me? Guess what? You have a sin nature. You still have a free will. You're still either choosing to follow God or not to follow God. You're either choosing to love people or not love people. You're either pushing people away or you're welcoming them in. And that's so important that we get this as disciples of Christ, that we grow up into this, that we get consistent, that we get faithful, that we say, you know what? I'm not going to be lukewarm. I'm going to be on fire for God. I'm going to hold on to him and let him hold on to me. And I'm not going to hurt the people around me. I'm going to make some choices that will help and bless people around me. Amen, somebody? It's easier said than done, though, isn't it? Because we have the choice every day. We've had really have the choice every moment of every day. And so it's so important that we live by these truths, these three truths from Romans chapter 7. So truth number one, we know the good to do, but oftentimes we don't do it. Truth number two, when we invite Christ into our lives, we take on a new identity. When I let Christ come in, I begin to die to the old Wayne. I begin to die to the selfish and angry Wayne. I begin to die to the Wayne that wants to do whatever he wants to do. I die to the Wayne that wants to hurt and hurt others and reject and keep the pain away and control everything. When I begin to die to myself and I let Christ live inside of me, then I start to say, you know what? I'm willing to lay my life down for others. I'm willing to risk a little bit for the good of the kingdom of God. I'm willing to enter into this battle. I'm willing to take on a new identity. I don't want to be the old person I was anymore. I want to be a new person in Christ. And so as you'll see, Finn and this rebel fighter, this pilot in this next scene, he has an old identity, but in this moment of battle, he takes on a new identity. I want you to see what happens in this next battle scene. Check it out. All right, let me tell you something. When you become a Christian, when you become a believer, you've entered into a battle. And at the end of this, you see where Finn lands on Jakku, and he's all alone. And sometimes when you're a Christian and you leave the past behind, it can feel pretty lonely. Like, I'm out here in this battle all by myself. Where'd all my friends go? They don't want to hang out with you anymore now that you don't drink so much, now you don't cuss so much, now you're not so fun to be around, quote unquote. Anybody ever experienced that once you became a Christian? Started to be kind of lonely a little bit? Well, we can feel that. We can experience that. And that's what we see in Pilgrim's Progress as well. As Christian is walking on this road to the celestial city, he's all by himself. And then he comes, of course, eventually to meet this man named Evangelist, who points him to the cross. And it's a beautiful scene in Pilgrim's Progress as he says, "There, just keep going. Don't give up. I know you're by yourself, but keep fighting the good fight. Don't turn around and go back to that city of destruction, but keep walking towards that heavenly place, that heavenly city." So when we believe in Christ, we take on a new identity. I love it how F1287 decides, Finn, yeah, that's a good name. I'll take on that new identity. I want to be a part of this movement. In our text today, verses 18 through 20, Romans 7, verses 18 through 20, Paul says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't do the thing, I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing the wrong. It's sin living in me that does it." So we're living with this tension inside of us as believers, battling against our sinful nature, knowing that there's a heavenly prize, and knowing that there's a Savior who loves us, who's died for our sins, and we have to battle that inward struggle every day. How many do you find that some days you win and some days you lose in the sin struggle? Yeah, I'm right there with you. Sometimes we have good days and sometimes we have bad days. But you know, Jesus loves us on all the days. In fact, he might even love you even more, have more compassion on you on your bad day, because that's why he came. He came to cover our sin, to remove the stain of our guilt. Romans, the next chapter in Romans, Romans 8, 12 through 17 says, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sin nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." So when you're led by God, you're a child of God. You may not walk this walk perfectly, but you're his son. You're his daughter. "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father." So translate that from the original Greek to American English. Now we call him Daddy, God. Abba is the Greek word for daddy. That God says, "I want to be so close. I just want you to lean on me as your dad, as your daddy. I'm here for you." "For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we're God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering." Ooh, we don't like that part, do we? That's not a popular one to preach either. It's very popular in church to skip over those suffering parts, right? Very popular in church to go, "Oh man, we should become a Christian. Everything's going to be great. It's going to be rainbows and roses and sunshine and nothing bad's ever going to happen to you again." I mean, you know, that's not reality. When you're a Christian, it gets tough. It's a battle. The devil hates your guts. He wants to destroy you. He wants to take you down. He wants to humiliate you, right? But thank God we've overcome the world through Christ by the word and by our testimony, right? So we have a fight to fight. We can't just linger and go, okay, well, hopefully today's a good day. No, no. You decide what kind of day it's going to be. You determine what kind of day you're going to have in Christ. You take the bull by the horns and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm choosing my attitude today. I'm choosing to worship you today. I am choosing whether I feel like it or not. Jesus, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to be excited about knowing you. Amen, somebody? I'm trying to preach myself happy right here. I'm telling you. The Bible talks about stirring up our most holy faith. You can change your attitude by, just by choosing to think differently than the enemy wants you to think. Because the enemy wants to bring you down, but Christ wants to lift you up. Amen. And so I want you to let's make a turn now to the third truth in our passage today. Truth number three. Through our daily struggle and victory over sin, we are being transformed into new creations. Through our daily struggle and our victory over sin, we're being transformed into new creations. You're not who you once were, right? You're probably not who you want to be yet. Anybody would just say right now, you know, you're not who you want to be yet. Like you still are working on the personal development program, right? I'm right there with you. I'm not who I want to be yet. But how many are you glad? Thank God you're not who you used to be, right? So we're in process. We're always in process. We're not where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we were. Right? We're on this journey. We're growing as disciples. We're becoming more and more like Christ every day, hopefully. Right? And so in our text today, Romans 7, verses 21 through 25, Paul says this. He says, I have discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what's wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Oh, listen, and here's the turn. Verse 25. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sin nature, I'm a slave to sin. Guess what? That's always going to be true as long as you're alive. We're going to be battling that good fight. We're waging that fight in our bodies, in our minds. The enemy wants to bring depression and anger and bitterness and fear. And Jesus says, I've come that you would have life and that you'd have it more abundantly. That I'm going to put my spirit in you and I'm going to guide you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to encourage you. Right? And you get to choose what kind of day it's going to be depending on whose hand you're going to hold that day. Right? You say, oh, I'll just walk this way and just do what I want to do today. Guess what? You've already chosen to have sort of a bad day that day if you're going to do it by yourself. Because the enemy knows how to sneak in there, right? Hold Christ's hand every day. Start the day with the word of God. Start the day with worship. Start the day just with an affirmation saying, Lord, I love you. Lord, I need you. God, I can't do this day without you. Would you help me? Would you strengthen me? Would you encourage me? Amen. And when you start that day, every day that way, guess how it's going to go a lot better than if you just say, well, I hope it's a good day today. Right? No, or today, or even worse. Oh, today it's going to be a hard day. It's going to be so long. It's going to be so awful. I'm going to see that person I hate talking to. Right? If you begin your day with dread and fear and bitterness and anger, guess what kind of day you're going to have? Not so good. Dreadful, fearful, angry, bitter. But when you choose to walk in Christ, to walk in newness of life, to be walking in the full of the Spirit, to soaking your mind in the Word of God, in the presence of God, it's going to be a much better day. It's going to be a much better week. And so when we walk in that new identity, Paul is saying, it's going to be a struggle. We know it's a struggle. And it is lonely. People that you thought would be there for you, they're not there. Or you thought, like, you know, things would be different. or you'd be further along by now, or whatever expectations you had, most of the time they're not met, because we set our expectations in a place that most of the time is unrealistic, right? And I think we're trying to make heaven, we're trying to make earth into heaven, and we're trying to get to heaven somehow. And can I tell you what? God isn't trying to get you to heaven. He's trying to get heaven to earth. He's trying to use you to bring the kingdom of God to wherever he planted you, in your neighborhood, in your marriage, in your kids' lives, in wherever place he's planted you. He wants to bring the light of his kingdom through you. And it probably won't look the way you think it will look. When we walk in our new identity, it can be a struggle, but that struggle is worth it. It's worth it. You know that, anybody had, like, some of you work physical jobs. How many at the end of a day, when you worked really hard, you felt that good tired? Like, man, I got a lot done today. You ever felt that way? That's the good tired that I think we're going to have when we get to heaven one day, when we do our very best for the Lord. We're going to get there and go, whoa, enter into my rest. Ooh, that sounds good. This has been a good life. I've been living it hard. I gave it all that I had. But I'm on the day when you didn't work so hard, or you're like, I have a little cold today, maybe a fever, I think I'll call in sick to work today. I'd rather just stay home and watch soap operas, whatever it is. He's like, so how are you ever like kind of fudged on a work day, or like, or you just didn't even show up, and at the end of that day you felt the shame and disgrace of like, I really probably should have gone to work today. Come on, be real with me today. You ever kind of had a lazy day, right? And you, at the end of that day, you don't have the good tired. You're like, I don't even know why I'm tired. I didn't even do anything today. You ever felt that way? The shame of not doing anything on a lazy day. Can I tell you what feels better? The good tired feels better than the guilty tired, doesn't it? Because you know that you've done something. Can I tell you, as a disciple of Christ, all of us in here, those of us who are believers and you're trying to live your life for God, man, work for that good tired. Work towards that good tired to say, you know what, at the end of my race, I want to be able to say, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith, man. I did everything I knew to do. Amen? And so we are doing some new things around. We're trying to renew the ministry in many ways. Voltage now has moved to Wednesday nights. We're starting a Hillsong School of Ministry on Monday nights, which is going to start the first week of October. I want you to pray about, some of you, you've never studied the Bible. Some of you probably never even read the whole New Testament. You've never read Matthew to Revelation. And this first course is a 7-week course about the fundamentals of Christian leadership. And we're just going to cover the basics of Christianity, what it means to be a Bible-believing Christian. And if you've never done that, I want to challenge you to come to those Monday night classes. It's going to be over at the Conference Center at Castle Rock Adventist Hospital. And we've got a room for about 10 students. And you get a certificate of completion at the end of it, and it costs $40 for the course book. And I'm telling you, it's a phenomenal way to train yourself in the Bible. And if you think you're going to do ministry of any kind, if you think you might someday do some missions work, or you want to serve in leadership in the church, think about doing the Hillsong School of Ministry, and maybe tell some young people about it that you know that may be interested as well. The new coffee ministry and fellowship. You know, if you want to come early at 9:30 on Sundays, we're trying to run the coffee ministry. And, you know, this morning I think Beth ran it, but we would love to have some church volunteers do it. You know, we'd love to have some of you come early and help facilitate fellowship and be there for each other and take prayer requests and pray over one another and create a loving ministry atmosphere where folks can be welcomed and have that healthy fellowship that a church needs. We're planning a spring missions trip over our March spring break down to the Navajo Nation, Navajo and Hopi Nations and Many Waters Mission. And if you, and for the cost of about $200 over spring break for 5 days, 4 nights, if you've never done a missions trip, I want you to just pray about taking those days off of work and coming. We're just going to leave on that Sunday of spring break and come back on Thursday. It's going to be a powerful time of doing some cross-cultural ministry. Some of you, if you've never met Navajo Indians, you've never been in a cross-cultural situation, there are many Navajo kids that have never met a white person. It can be really, really powerful for racial reconciliation for us to do ministry with folks there in the tribal ministries. So pray about being involved with that. Can I tell you, you have to have a goal. You have to have a goal. When I teach people how to play guitar or an instrument, I've taught a lot of students different musical instruments. Can I tell you the ones who do really, really well? It's the ones who have a reason to play. If they're playing at youth group, or they're playing in a small group, or they play in a band somewhere real often, they do an open mic night somewhere, they learn really fast. Because they know they have to learn the song because they're going to be playing in front of people this week. Like, I got to know what I'm doing. But the person who's just playing for the sake of playing, who's just playing in their bedroom, they don't learn very fast. Because there's no urgency. There's no need. It's like, well, I'm just doing it for the fun of it. Well, you're probably not going to learn very much. We get sharpened when we get challenged. When challenge comes, we grow, right? So I want to encourage you to find your place of ministry. Challenge yourself spiritually to do some of the things you've never done before, to read the Bible, to go on a missions trip, to do Hillsong School of Ministry, to volunteer with Voltage Youth Group, whatever it is. And as you stretch yourself, you are going to grow. I want you to look at this final scene from The Force Awakens as Finn takes on his final new identity. He starts stripping off the stormtrooper's armor and becomes a rebel soldier. Check it out. So I want you to think about this life that you're living, stripping off the old life, stripping off the sin, the weights. The Bible says to take off all the weights that are holding you down and run the race with endurance that God has set out before you. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, I love how Finn is overlooking this city at Jakku. In many ways, we get near the end of Pilgrim's Progress, and he has this amazing encounter with the kingdom of God when he comes to Calvary, which has a cross on the hill and the empty tomb below. And he's carrying his burden up to the cross. And I want to read this passage from Pilgrim's Progress. He says, "Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall. And that wall was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came to a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below, in the bottom, a sepulcher. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed from his shoulders and fell off from his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do so until it came to the mouth of the sepulcher where it fell in, and I saw it no more." When we come to Christ, he looses the burden off of us. He says, "I have come that you'd have life, that you'd have it to the full. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Right, John 10:10, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life and life to the full." Right, just as Finn is stripping off the stormtrooper's uniform and he's putting on the rebel coat, can I tell you, the Christian life, we are the rebel alliance against the devil in this world. You know, the devil has this world under siege. Guess who that makes us? We're the rebel alliance, everybody. We're the ones pushing back the darkness. We're the one pushing against the world system and saying, no, we believe in a better kingdom. We believe in a higher authority. We believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We believe in this written word of God. It's not a dusty old book, but it's living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It exposes the very thoughts and attitudes of our heart. We live by the word of God, and it changes the way we live. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we talk. It changes the way we fight in life. We begin to fight for good and not for evil. Amen? Man, I hope you fight that good fight of faith that we've been talking about today. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I love how Finn strips off the old and he's taken on a new identity. And in many ways, you watch this film, he's like, it's almost like, how did a stormtrooper become a rebel fighter? That's so strange. It's so weird. It started internally first, right? And for us as Christians, people look at your life and you go, man, you're a Christian? How did you become a Christian? How did that happen? Well, really, the answer is, it started in here first. Maybe you haven't taken on all the new identity yet, but God is doing something inside of you. You have to let him complete the work that he started, right? And you'll become that rebel fighter for the kingdom of God in this planet that the devil has under siege right now. Final scripture here today. Jesus promises to lift our burdens and give us rest. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I mean, that sounds pretty good. You need that rest that comes from God. How many of you get a little weary sometimes, right? I mean, if you watch the news lately, did you watch the news this week? You're like, oh man, those poor people in Florida. Oh no, North Korea is going to nuke us. Oh no. Come on. So like the world is trying to get us all fired up and worried and terrified. And like, you better be a prepper, man. Nibiru, Planet X is coming to destroy us. Come on. Right? Come on. Are you living in the same world I'm living in? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. His tactic is to bring fear and anger. But Jesus came to give us life, to lift our burden, that we would be different, that we would taste different to the world, that we would be salt to the world. We would be a candle in a dark room, that somehow when we walk into a situation, people are like, oh, I'm so glad she showed up. Oh, I feel so much better once he came. I don't know why, but when he comes in, I feel like I can breathe. Things are going to be okay. You know, like, I hope that you bring that kind of atmosphere wherever you go, because if Christ lives in you, the hope of glory goes with you, right? And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. And he's going to quicken your mortal bodies to do what no one else could do, to bring a spirit, to bring an attitude, to bring an overcoming spirit. So I want to just give an opportunity for you guys to respond. Why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes today. Maybe you're a Christian today, and you're just feeling weary. You're like, man, I you talk about the burden. I have felt the burden. I have felt weighed down. I felt a heaviness, whether it's through fear or anger or some kind of thing that the enemy has brought against you, and you want it just to be lifted off today. Just say, Pastor Wayne, that's me. Just slip your hand up today and just say, I got that heaviness. I need to lift it off. Thank you. A lot of hands going up here this morning. Let me pray for that, and then I'm going to just make an appeal for you to come to Christ if you don't know him. Father, would you just continue to lift your hands if you just admitted that today? Father, for each person that lifted their hands today who need that spirit of heaviness lifted off, Father, I pray by the mighty name of Jesus, by the blood you shed and by the beating you took, to give a supernatural grace for this time, a supernatural peace that can't be explained, that Lord, from this moment forward, this week, we would sense a joy that we haven't had in seasons past, that Father, we'd strip off the weights of the old kingdom and take on the new kingdom armor that you want to give us as believers. Just infuse us with your joy and your peace, your goodness, your mercy. Keep your heads bowed for a second. If you're here today and you're like, I need to come to Jesus. I need to make him the Lord of my life. I don't think I've been living with him as the Lord, but I want to. I want him to be my Lord and be my Savior. I want to come to Jesus today. Slip your hand up and just let me pray that prayer. Thank you. Thank you. So proud of you guys for praying that prayer. If you're watching or listening online today, you can commit your life to Christ as well. Just email me, PastorWayneH@mac.com. It's very simple. God created each of us to have a relationship with him. But our sins, they separate us from God. And those sins that we commit, they can't be paid for by being religious or doing good deeds. Jesus already paid the price for our sin. So everyone who trusts in him can have eternal life. And that eternal life can begin the moment you let him in and last the whole rest of eternity. So if you raised your hand here in the room, or you're committing your life to Christ online while you're watching or listening, just pray this prayer out loud. Some at church, if you'll pray it out loud, just to encourage those who are praying it today, say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for going my own way. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you are raised from the dead. Please come into my heart. be my Savior and be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.